broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. It all continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 27th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is indeed our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's our guide. We believe the checks and balances inspired by the Almighty put in place by our founders. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And the solution to the problems we face in America today. And we're not going to have more liberty, ladies and gentlemen, than we have a moral and educated people. And that's the bottom line. Welcome to the broadcast. Horrible news. Yeah, it's been a big old meltdown. All the people in the refuge, or the Harney County Resource Center, as they called it, I'm sure your government will be all too delighted to change it back to government control. They made a big old arrest yesterday. All right. Is this Operation Ultimate Payback? I asked back on the 13th, and I maintain my question. After all the threats and the intimidation, is the government the only one to use violence? I'm telling you, I've been getting calls on the breaks. People have got eyewitnesses with all kinds of stuff, and I'm telling you, the government is the aggressor. Gunfire erupts, they say. They act like it was a gunfight, but I think the government was the one just going ballistic with the guns. The good part is only one person lost their life. The sad part is we have no redress of grievances. The sad part, ladies and gentlemen, in my humble opinion, is the due process of law doesn't seem to be working, and the corruption in Harney County, they're up to their eyeballs in corruption over there. But you know what? We may not even get to the bottom of that now. Time will tell. And patriots in the militias, etc., are on a hair trigger desire to take this to the next level. I pray, absolutely pray, we can de-escalate. All right, I won't go into all the details. Pete Santilli got arrested. Kurt, one of the interesting things about that, by the way, welcome to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
One of the interesting things about Pete Santilli is he's kind of the only one that got arrested that wasn't really originally part of the thing. He went there to report was the story. Mm-hmm. And the reason I think it's sad that he got arrested, Kurt, and charged with conspiracy to impede a federal official, that's a felony. A very vague claim. It's kind of like, disturbing the peace or something. It's a pretty vague federal charge on all these people. Nevertheless, what I find fascinating about this, Kurt, is when we were at the peaceful rally, and then we heard Ammon and crew took over the building and we decided to leave and not be part of that. Let me just make it clear, we never were going to be part of it. The second we heard about it, we said, no way, and we left. But I called Pete Santilli and I said, my friend, you better back out of there, it's going to be trouble. And he kind of, didn't really listen to me. Let's just say it like that. And now, Kurt, the poor dude's behind bars, brother. And I'm not trying to say I warned him, but I am kind of saying, man.
He's reporting from inside.
He sure is. But I don't know where he's reporting. And see, this is kind of the thing that's funny. Back, between the second and now, everybody's kind of saying, Sam, you're just a wimp. These guys are doing more for freedom than you'll ever know. And I look at our 20-plus year radio career, Kurt, and I say, you know what? We've done our best for freedom. I'm not here to tell you how awesome we are for freedom or blow our own horn or anything. I'm just saying we're still here to tell the tale of liberty, Kurt. We're still here to educate people towards morality. God's law is the answer when it comes to liberty. We're still here to educate people about the proper role of limited government, the checks and balances, the Constitution. We're still here to fight another day and to make a difference. And I'm afraid a lot of these guys now have lost their ability to make much of a difference. And it's sad is the reason that I bring it up. And I don't bring it up to, pardon the pun, cry over spilled milk or say I told you so. But I want the next person to think about their actions for the next event. Right now, there's a lot of people saying, come to Oregon, the Civil War has begun. Don't even think about it, folks. Don't do it. Okay, and I bring this up because on a going forward idea, Kurt, you want people to behave as followers of the Prince of Peace, to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, to be very measured in their responses, very patient in their suffering, long sufferings, prayerful to God, live the best life they can, serve others, and try to get a new view, a different focus that will serve them well. And I'm telling you right now that that's what we've got to do more of. And so I'm just trying to bring this up, not really to say how awesome we are, but to give people guidance about what they ought to do if they really want to make a difference in the world. If they really want to be a I don't know what you call it, a barometer for success or a solution provider, that's where they ought to look. All right. Any other comments on that, Kurt?
Yeah, there's, I mean, in my opinion, there's plenty of ways for somebody to work at restoring the, you know, constitutional freedoms we've lost, you know, and I mean, there's work 24/7 almost, you know, as far as I can see. But of course, we recommend you take the day off on a Sunday, you know what I mean?
I don't know about taking the day off. I think filling your spiritual tank and going to church and doing all those kind of things is
part of the process.
Yeah, and it's a day off from your day-to-day routine without question. But I guess I'm saying turning a day to the Lord, I don't know if it's a day off. It's one of my favorite best days of the week, personally. But, you know, and I know what you mean by take the day off. You're just saying, hey, set aside worldly cares and in your day-to-day stuff and make it a special day, a sacred day. Make it a day of dedication to the Lord, a day of sacrifice or, And I agree with that. I'm just telling the people that it's important to understand that's your spiritual refill day. That's all. All right, Kurt, Sheriff Joe's in the news.
Sheriff Joe is in the news, huh? I didn't know that.
He just endorsed Donald Trump, my friend.
Well, there you go. Huh. That is an interesting twist, isn't it?
Sheriff Joe Arpaio lays down the Trump card. Just saying.
Yeah, very good.
All right.
Sheriff Joe.
What else in the news, Kurt?
You know, that's what I was looking through to see, they're, of course, one of the big things they're talking about now, Sam, is apparently Donald Trump is saying that he's not going to be part of the, the next big event, the next deal with Fox News, I guess, is the next Republican deal. He's saying that he apparently Rand Paul has been reinstated. I don't know exactly if that's the term, but that he'll be part of the next news debate. But Trump is saying, I'm not going to be there. So that's an interesting twist on it, don't you think?
Well, I find it weird. Is he really brought back because he deserves to be back? Or is it that if Trump's not in the list, then we can bring somebody else on?
Well, I think, as far as I know, he was, they said he was brought back before Trump said he was out.
So he's just rolling in the polls now. Is that what's happening?
I'm not exactly sure, you know, but apparently there was some reason for it, you know. Maybe Fox wanted the additional guy to make it an even 8 instead of just 7.
Now, some people, Kurt, are saying that Trump's just being a baby.
Well, as far as I can tell, Trump can pretty much do whatever he wants.
He can be a baby.
I guess he says he most likely will skip the upcoming debate. I suppose what'll happen somehow at the last minute or two, he'll go, all right, well, you know, I mean, I'll please you guys and be there. You know, that's the way I see it. But in the meantime, he'll get lots of coverage, just like we're giving him.
That's what's fascinating to me. Is it really that he's a baby, or does he just know that'll get him maximum coverage? He's getting more coverage by not being in the debates than he'd get by being in the debates, number one. Number two, why, when he has this much of a commanding lead, Kurt, and this is, you could say he's just being a baby if you want to, but I call this a brilliant business strategy. Why would you put yourself in a position to possibly lose the debate or not do as well as you hope and then take a chance that somebody else will gain on you in the polls. Better yet, to let the feud keep you out of the debate. And yeah, you might lose some points from the feud, but not as many as you would lose if somehow the debate doesn't go well. And I believe they're almost set up siege for Trump to try to make him look bad. This is their last gasp of derail opportunity, if you will. And why give that to them? If you're a businessman and you're smart, why would you do that? So I don't know that he's really being a baby, although I know at first glance it seems like that. I would say that it's a brilliant business, strategic, educated, risk-reward analysis decision. And Trump's smart enough to take the wiser part. I commend him, Kurt.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so not only is Trump boycotting the debate, Kurt, not only do I think it's a credible business decision, it just shows that, you know what, Trump might love the limelight, but he's also smart about how he gets the limelight. Why would he take a chance in stumbling big and having it change the game? Because it just might. He'll get attacked for what he's doing because Ted Cruz is like, you're chicking the debate me. I challenge you one-on-one and all this rhetoric from Cruz. However, Cruz already looks hostile to everybody. But what's interesting is you're going to lose a couple of points for not debating, but you're going to maybe lose a whole lot more if things don't go well. And I believe everybody's laying in siege for the Trumpster to see if they got one last gasp to shut him down. I think Trump is smart, but Trump's also doing something else interesting that you may not know. All right.
What is that?
Well, he's not only going to boycott the debates. He's going to set up an event to raise money for veterans and wounded warriors. Did you see that?
It's a great move.
It's a killer move.
It's an awesome move. Yeah.
And you can say, well, it's all about money to Trump and it's not real. You know what? I'm not going there. I'm just telling you right now, it's better than battling back and forth about who's got a nicer mommy and stuff. They don't talk about any of the debates of real value anyways, and at least raising money for those who need it, vets and wounded warriors and stuff, has quite a bit of validity, in my opinion. I wonder how much he could raise, and I wonder how much the Fox folks will bring in without Donald. So that's kind of an interesting twist.
Mm-hmm.
Just thought that was fascinating. All right, Kevin, Utah, you're on the radio. Go, make it quick.
Yeah, I was. I just wanted to get back to the Ammon Bundy thing real quick. Did you listen to Glenn Beck the day after the...
I never listened to Glenn Beck, so no.
Okay. Well, he made it sound like the first presidency has been mad at Glenn Beck a few times.
Okay, people don't know who the first presidency is, sir.
The head of the LDS Church.
All right.
The head.
And they're not happy with Glenn Beck? Or they're not happy with Bundy?
What does it sound like?
Beck or Bundy?
Glenn Beck.
Well, I'm sure they're not. The guy says all kinds of off-the-charts stuff.
Yeah, and then he made it sound like people in the LDS Church were very docile, and the LDS Church is part of the reason why we have that big data center in Draper. I was just wondering your viewpoint about all of that.
All right, well, let's separate things. Yeah, it is true that people who follow Jesus Christ, for the most part, are very docile people. That's true. But I wouldn't say they're docile in the sense that they're pushovers or wimpy or weak. They're just taught to be meek and to inherit the earth. They're taught to turn the other cheek. They're taught to follow the Prince of Peace. And so they're not warmongering by nature. So I agree with that general, what's the word I'm looking for? That general stereotype might be the best way to say it. But I don't agree that that's why they have the data center. The reason they have the data center is because that's where the government wanted to put it. There's big money in putting it there. There's a lot of jobs in putting it there. So if you don't believe in, you know, the battle about whether we should have this or not, you just say, hey, it'll bring jobs and money to the state, then it's a good move. All I can tell you is, you know what? I don't want a data center like that, period. But if they're going to have one, I'd rather have it in my backyard than have it across the country. Because if the bureaucrats in D.C. ever get too belligerent, we can chop them off and we have control of that bad boy now, right? So there's a little bit of an advantage to having it in your backyard. They can spy on you whether you're in Timbuktu or right here near it. The difference is if we're right here near it, we might be able to control it should we ever need to. So it's kind of an interesting viewpoint that I have on that. I'm not saying I'm fine with it. I'm just saying if it's going to exist, I'd rather have the opportunity to control it than not. And, you know what? Glenn Beck says all kinds of stuff off the charts. And, you know, I'm not here to debate whether people are happy with him or not about that. I'm just telling you, he says all kinds of goofy, crazy stuff. I mean, he was the one attacking Barack's children, and he was the one doing, I mean, he does all kinds of goofy skits that get him in trouble. So this is nothing new from the Beckster. Any last comment, Kevin?
No, just wanted your take on the whole subject.
All right, there you go. Thank you, sir. So that's what I think on the Bundy thing. You know, I know that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints leadership said, hey, we don't support the armed takeover, and that they believe it was ill-advised. And a lot of people are believing that the church just doesn't have all the facts on it, and that may or may not be true. All I know is I stood against Ammon's takeover as well because I think it's an ill-advised plan. I mean, all that did is get a bunch of people tossed in the clink and one guy dead so far. And it's not looking good going forward. So I don't really know what they've accomplished. I hope we can accomplish a lot from this. I agree with the last caller last hour that said everything happens for a reason. I think there's truth to that. All right, so Sheriff Joe endorses Trump. Trump's response is to announce that he'll boycott the debates and instead host an event to raise money for veterans and wounded warriors. I still think that's a killer plan, Kurt.
Yeah, he's going to get a little bit of a mileage out of this, and you've seen in the past, if I remember right, there was a Democratic debate where they said that Trump won.
Say that one more time.
Well, there was a Democratic debate a while back where they said that Trump won the debate.
Oh, yeah, because he was so smart that he wormed his way into that debate, too, yes.
He did some, what was it, tweeting or something like that during it and, you know, basically stole the show. But, you know, it's interesting to see the moves that he makes and the coverage that he gets.
Yeah. I think he's very wise. Again, I'm not really a Trump fan.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe he really understands the Constitution, et cetera. But he sure knows how to take the world by storm. He sure knows how to play disruptor.
He knows how to work the media.
Yeah. Good point. He knows how to work the media for sure. All right. Any other tidbits on Trump? Cruz is running around saying, Trump, I'll debate you anywhere, anytime, any place, one-on-one. Hey, Ted, why don't you come debate me one-on-one, my friend? Why don't we talk about Harney County and the abuse that those people took, and you said not a word? Why don't we talk about how your wife works for the Federal Reserve Banking Cartel and how you get a big old gargantuan loan when you pretend you're getting grassroots money from the patriots and the people and you're an outsider? You've been an insider attorney for George Bush, and now your wife works at the big banks, and you got big loan money for all your campaigns from the Federal Reserve, and how are you going to stand for liberty when you're that compromised, Ted? I mean, I can go off on Ted Cruz, Kurt. Not only that, he's not even constitutionally qualified to be president, as Trump wisely pointed out. So we get all kinds of confusion. You know, I don't think that Ted Cruz wants to really debate, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Does he? Because
yeah.
I'll debate Ted Cruz anytime, any place, anywhere, Kurt.
Well, what you typically do, though, Sam, is you always want to debate somebody who's got a higher status than you, and this is how that works. So Trump doesn't want to debate Cruz because he views him as a step down, and Cruz wants to debate Trump because he views, hey, that'll get me more coverage because I'll be along with...
Well, then I want to debate Kurt Cosby.
No, that's a step down for you.
No,
you stepping up to debate Cruz, see, that will give you...
Heck no, I don't have to step down to debate Cruz. I just do it for the good of the country.
All right. Well, anyway, that's...
Your point's well taken. You're right as rain,
Kurt. That works.
You're absolutely right, and that's why Ted wants it, because he believes that he'll gain ground.
Yeah.
That he will grow to the stature of a Trump, and the reason Trump won't do it is because he's like, why should I make a stupid stumble right now? That's just a stupid move. You're going to try to, you know what, appeal to my vanity and get me to just think I'm so incredible that I know better than to make mistakes like that. Look, whether you like Trump or not, he's an incredible negotiator. You got to give him credit for that. And he knows, what, when to hold him and when to fold him, to borrow the, what's that, Kenny Rogers tune, Kurt?
You
got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. You got to count your money.
But I remember that
when the dealing's done.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
just
true.
Saying.
Yeah.
Instead, host an event
to
raise money for veterans and wounded warriors.
It's a great move.
It is a great move, and I hope he's successful.
Fantastic.
Because if there's people that need it, it's the veterans, Kurt, and the
wounded
warriors.
Yep.
All right.
That's right.
What else? Anything else you want to bring up here?
Well,
we can talk about this Japanese chick if you don't have anything.
If that's fine. Or Noah's Ark is in the news.
All right, we'll talk about Noah's Ark, then we'll talk about this Japanese chick. How's that?
Okay.
All right, Liberty Roundtable Live. You're listening to Sam and Kurt on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use radio station, syndicated by Republic Broadcasting Network and LibertyNewsRadio.com.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, a news conference is scheduled by the FBI for 10:30 a.m. Pacific time today regarding the Harney County fiasco. U.S. attorney, a guy named is Billy Williams, will be on hand. FBI special agent in charge, Greg Bretzing, I guess, as well as Harney County Sheriff Dave Ward. They'll be addressing reporters. So we'll see what all goes on with that. All right, Kurt, you were talking about Noah's Ark. Isn't that like biblical stuff, sir?
Yeah, it is, Sam. It looks like Noah's Ark is in the news, you know. Apparently, this is a WorldNet Daily piece. They call it a WorldNet Daily exclusive. Yeah, you won't see ABC, CBS, NBC picking up this story. A little too religious for them, at least in my opinion. But they'll have lots of room for, you know, mile-high shakes or whatever in New York, and they got room for that. But they won't do this. But it looks like, Sam, in this state here, it looks like it's Kentucky. I guess they've got a program, you know, a state government program that's designed to boost tourism. Well, some Christians thought they'd participate in it, Sam. Now, what that really means is they wanted some money for doing their project that they thought would bring people to the state. I mean, imagine them thinking they can participate in, you know, government programs. But anyway, the federal judge has now ruled that what's called the Ark Encounter, they call it an Answers in Genesis project that was set to create a life-size Noah's Ark attraction, can participate in a Kentucky state program designed to boost tourism. State officials previously, ruled that because it's a Christian organization, the state could discriminate against it. You know, special rights for certain people, right, Sam? But the founder there, a guy named Ken Ham, he told WorldNet Daily his project originally was determined to be qualified because it met all the state requirements. But then the secular groups, you know, the people who say it's not fair that all these religious guys get all the, you know, Benny's, and they don't want to really treat the Christian people the same as they want to be treated. But anyway, they argued that these guys were Christians, so they shouldn't get the stuff. But the bottom line is, now they are. Now, by the way, they say none of the incentive money is being used for the launch of the ARC project. That doesn't mean launch into the water. It just means, you know, it's going forward. By the way, Sam, these guys gathered up about $90 million for their project. Now, I don't think that's $90 million from the state, but that's in the story. $90 million to buy the ground, you know, set up the whole thing. They say more than $90 million has been raised for land purchase, infrastructure, exhibit construction, and the building of the park centerpiece. And that is a massive, full-scale, 510-foot-long recreation of Noah's Ark. So, and you can see a picture of it as it, you know, is currently where it's, you know, on site. I mean, the whole thing's not finished, but they're moving forward with this thing. So in the future, you might want to plan a trip to Kentucky to see what they say is a life-size recreation of the Noah's Ark. I don't know exactly where they get, you know, that they know exactly what the size was.
Buddy, they know everything.
Well, anyway.
Now, it's weird. You're right, though. And what I find fascinating about this, you know how you've heard the modern stories were like, hey, just try to build Noah's Ark today. The EPA comes out and the FCC comes out and all these different government, you know, Noah's crying in the rain and the Lord's like, what's wrong? He's like, I just can't build it, Lord. And stuff like that. And it makes you kind of think about that when it's modern and it's like a replica in what, Kentucky, Kurt? But you know what? I'd like to actually go see that. Yes. Even if we don't know if it's completely factual, and that it sure be interesting to see what it was. Even if it's not a perfect replica, Kurt, it would be probably reasonably, you know.
Yeah, we could always go there and have a, you know, CSPOA event in Noah's Ark replica.
That's a good idea. Cool. Right. Maybe Kurt will take over the replica. Take over Noah's Ark.
That's right.
Man, me and Noah.
Be holed up in there.
We're going. No, you'll be free to come and go as you choose, Kurt.
Oh, that's right. But darn they'll right. Call me a armed hold-up guy.
Now, Ammon Bundy and those guys say that Finicum was on his knees with his hands up, and he got shot, murdered in cold blood, 3 shots, and he was dead. But now a guy, his name is Mark McConnell, Kurt, he posted a Facebook video. He was the driver of one of the vehicles, and he says that Robert Lavoie Finicum, was shot and killed while charging police, and he was the driver of one of the vehicles. Now, I guess he was about like a mile away or something, though, and people are kind of wondering how he really knew what was going on, and so there's just a lot of confusion here. That's why I'm telling people to kind of slow down a little bit. But it's weird, huh?
Yeah. Sam, I guess, kind of recent update on the whole Trump skipping the last debate. I guess Ronald Reagan skipped the last debate before the Iowa caucus, and they went on to win in the landslide, they say. And that's according to GatewayPundit.com, boys. I just sent you that one. So that's kind of an interest. Do you think he was reading about that?
There's a very good possibility that it's just like, hey, I'll just try to see if I can't repeat history. You know, those who study history are doomed to repeat it, and that usually means in the negative. In this case, it may mean the positive. Kurt, you can use history for positive purposes, too. That's what the scriptures are all about, right? To remind us of the Lord's dealings with mankind and how to follow him and receive blessings, kind of an idea.
Huh. Imagine that.
Whacked out idea, huh?
Yes. Definitely. Uh-huh.
Well, I'm in, though. Yeah. Just call me a whack.
I guess during that election, they even give these numbers. You had Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter, and John Anderson. So John Anderson was running as an independent. He got 6.6% of the popular vote, none of the electoral vote. Jimmy Carter got 41% of the popular vote, 9.1% of the electoral vote. Ronald Reagan got 50.7% of the popular vote with 90.9% of the electoral vote. So it was a pretty big landslide back then. You think it'll be the same this time? Think those numbers will be similar, you know?
I don't know. I didn't think that
Trump
was going to make it in the first place, and he has. And so I'm just – the mainstream press, the mainstream is endorsing him, Kurt. Exactly what that means, I'm not sure that I know.
Yeah.
I only know some answers, Kurt.
You?
Yeah.
Only know some? Huh. I was thinking it was the other way around, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know everything.
Yeah.
And I can admit when I'm wrong sometimes, right? Come on.
That's a good character trait. Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to learn good things from Kurt and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yep, there you go. I got you. But anyway, it's interesting stuff with the twists and turns over the last few hours, you know, you could say. Now, Sam, it looks like, you know, do you remember the movie Back to the Future?
Yes.
All right. Well, anyway, I did watch part of that last night while you were working hard. You know, I was, basically.
That's usually how it is, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's right. But anyway, I guess that thing was released back in the 3rd of July, 1985.
Well, how come you're watching that and not the Scarlet Pimpernel? I mean, what's wrong with you?
Well, because my daughter that was not feeling well wanted to watch that.
Your daughter would love the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Well, I just, you know, I should have told her what she was going to watch, but I asked her, and, you know, she...
Well, she doesn't know about the Scarlet Pimpernel. She can't ask for things she doesn't know.
And she didn't know about this either, but she read, you know, the thing, and I told her it was the way I remember it back then. I mean, it's been a while since I saw it that I remembered it was kind of interesting, you know, interesting story. And, you know, she wanted something with some excitement to it or whatever. And but anyway, according to the Wikipedia boys, Back to the Future grossed $389 million worldwide back then, became the highest grossing film of 85. You know, I guess it cost them $19 million to make. So that's a pretty good...
yeah, that just shows you the power of inflation, too, right? Now you don't even do well unless you bring in triple that, Kurt.
Well, yeah. Or, I mean, you'd have to spend almost $100 million to do a movie.
I was supposed to tell you about the Japanese chick, man. What happened to that?
That's right. You forgot.
I did not.
I got you dissuaded, you know.
All right, we'll go ahead and tell you about this Japanese chick. She's nicknamed the Millennial Martha Stewart, Kurt, just to give you kind of an idea what we're talking about here, right?
Okay.
Liberty Roundtable, live.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare. The war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land. The Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Kurt, meet the millennial Martha Stewart. She's 31 years old. She's Japanese.
All right.
Yeah.
Meet her. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's pretty important, Kurt, now. All right.
Did she take over a refugee or refuge or
no?
What's she doing?
She's mild, Kurt. She's peaceful. In fact, there's a photo in this article of her folding clothes, buddy.
Well, there you go.
It's pretty gentle. You know what I mean? She says, "I love folding clothes." Now you say, Sam, why on earth would you have this on your show? Because it's pretty cool. Her name is Marie Kondo.
Oh, she started the original condo movement. And, you know, that's why you have so many condos in the world, right?
No, dude.
No, no.
Listen. Okay. Meet the millennial Martha Stewart, Marie Kondo. Uh-huh. Now, let me tell you about Marie, okay?
Yeah.
She says tidying up isn't just a physical thing, Kurt. It's an emotional thing.
Emotional.
And she basically talks about making a big difference in people's lives. And she says, if you want to get your life together, you want to know where it starts, Kurt?
Folding clothes?
Your sock drawer, buddy.
Your sock drawer. There you go.
Yeah. It's your sock drawer. And right. She's a guru to help people get their lives in order. And she says, most people have two-thirds too much stuff.
Two-thirds too much. I think that's probably right. It's almost like the federal government's got 90% too many laws.
Well, yeah, but this is, you just got 66. You got three times what you need, Kurt.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, she's currently touring America to promote her second book. Mm-hmm. It's called Spark Joy, Kurt.
Spark Joy.
And she's got the Marie Kondo, you know, method.
Wonder if that'll spark some joy across America. Yeah.
Maybe we sure could use it, buddy. I'll tell you what. But it's interesting what she talks about, Kurt.
Yeah, it does seem, you know, what would you say? A Japanese girl coming to America to promote folding socks and, you know, stuff. I mean, that's different.
Well, her real job is to help you get rid of all your excess junk so you can be free, Kurt, and slim and free yourself. And she says most people go through their stuff and they'll get rid of two-thirds of it and keep a third and they'll be happy and free. And that she can help you do it. And your first mistake is what you would do. What I would do, Kurt, is normally go to, say, a drawer and say, I'm going to clean out this drawer. Or go to a room and say, I'm going to clean out this room first. And she says that's the wrong way to go about it. Yeah. What you do is you do categories, Kurt.
Ooh.
So what you do is you just put all your coats in the middle.
Yes.
Or all your, you know, whatever it be. And she says you just go through and you hold each item in your hands and you just decide, does it feel good? Does it resonate with your body or not? And you just simply quickly hold it, make a decision, and discard, discard, keep, discard, discard, keep. And pretty soon you'll end up with about a third of your stuff. And she says it's absolutely liberating. All right, is it Mark in Philly? Hi, Mark.
Hello, Sam.
Yes.
Hello, Kurt.
Howdy.
Time to call you. I just want to share some things. I'm calling from Philadelphia, but I'm originally from Missouri, southern Missouri.
Okay.
And I grew up in the countryside, but we had a business in Springfield, and not too far from there, from Vince. And I've been in support of Vince for quite a while now. Grew up in the countryside next to farmers, dairy farmers, and our business, we had a family business, four different restaurants over a period of 20 years, okay? So this is a mom and pop, it's not a corporation, so we serve the community, you know, and I got to learn a little bit about the farm, and I got to learn about business, and now mind you, I grew up in the Bible Belt. They say that Springfield might be the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. You know, and by the way, John Ashcroft was a regular customer of ours, along with his congregation, right around the corner from the Assemblies of God Church there. Anyway, so I grew up with that, and I was the only one in my family that went to church on a regular basis, and it was of my own accord, my own volition, my own curiosity. Nobody forced me, nobody pushed me. But I have to tell you that through the years, I've met many people who didn't claim to be of God or even mention God, but they acted more godlike than people that always have to name drop God.
I agree with you, sir, and I'll give you an example to make your point. There's a good friend of ours by the name of Chuck Baldwin. He's a well-known author. He's a Christian pastor, etc. He has a church up in Montana called Liberty Fellowship, and his statement is, I'd rather have a liberty-loving non-believer than a lying or pretending believer. And I think it's a valid point. That, you know what, it's not about name-dropping or whatever else or public display. It's about your personal life and your spirituality. I think there's a lot of truth to your point.
Well, and so we kind of have a couple of extremes here. We have the extreme of where people just have faith, say, have faith that God will prevail, justice will prevail, and all this.
Yeah, kind of like a blind faith, maybe.
Right. And then at the other extreme, we have some ego attachment to in the name of God. Because in order to support, some people will say, well, I'd say this, and you dare not question them because they say it's in the name of God, right? Because they'll drop God. So I beg to differ. Here's an example. Morningland Dairy. I don't know if you heard about Morningland Dairy there in Missouri.
We reported on it in great detail when they got taken down, sir.
Okay. So
anyway.
So, and I remember when you had the convention there.
You're breaking up,
and I've been,
Mark.
Okay.
There you go.
Hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I called in also when you guys were up there at the convention there in St. Charles, okay? I was in support of Richard Mack and all of that. So the thing is that with Morningland Dairy, the Dixon family, that operation was in business for 30 years. The Dixons took it over a few years prior to what happened to them. Now, people went to their aid, but the Dixons said, no, God will prevail, justice will prevail, we'll have a good judge, and it'll all work out, right? Well, it didn't work out. They changed the judge right before the court situation, and right after he dropped the gavel against them, he retired. The local sheriff did not stand up. He was a coward. He didn't even come to their aid. When they actually confiscated $250,000 worth of cheese, that's 36,000 pounds.
Yeah, you're correct. Yep.
Of cheese. Okay. So the thing is, how is it? I'm wondering that the people who are God-fearing don't reach out and connect the dots. These are tyrants. The people behind these bad things, they're tyrants. They don't play games. They play games, but they're not good, okay? And they're evil, and they're not nice, okay? So I don't get that, how Christians don't see that.
Well, a lot of Christians do see that, and a lot of people believe in faith. You know, and other people say it's works and it's faith, and there's a big debate. I believe it's faith, but then your works are what make your faith whole. In other words, faith without works is dead. I believe it's both, and I agree with your point that, you know what, we as Christians need to do our very best. Sure, we can trust in God for the rest, which is a point I make often, but we got to do our part. We got to stand for liberty, and we're not going to have more freedom than we are moral and we are educated. So you're right, it takes a lot of work, and you can't just sit back and say, oh, God will fix it all, I don't have to do anything. That isn't correct at all. In fact, the founder said, if you expect to be ignorant and free, you expect what never will, be. And so there's no doubt your point's well taken.
In another case, the deal with the sheriffs, they're back in Missouri because I still have family in Missouri. Okay, you know, they'll uphold the law in the name of God. Okay, they're supposedly Christians, but they're going against their own people, and they're going against people in their own community, in their own county that they grew up with. Okay, so but they'll say in the name of God, right? And I'm here to tell you they're blaspheming God. Okay, and it really, excuse me, pisses me off really big time. Okay. That they're in positions of authority, and they're gonna go against their own people.
All right, we're about out of time, Mark. Kurt, do you want to respond? I concur with him. He's got a valid point.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the Cheese Boys were, big on our list, and the sheriff should have done his job there.
And it's a tragedy that we lost good people's personal and family business.
One more thing is that. Sure. In support of Sheriff Mack, I actually called up a lot of sheriffs in Missouri when the Second Amendment Preservation Act was coming around, okay? And I had conversations with a few of them, whoever I was able to. Now, most local people won't call their sheriff. They're afraid, because they're afraid that if they say the wrong thing, he'll go against them. And that's a valid point. But the thing is, many of the sheriffs that were on Mack's list who said they were constitutional, I followed through and then found out that they were doing things that were going against being a constitutional sheriff, but yet they were on the list and they said, oh, yeah, I'm part of the CSPOA. And there's still people on Richard's list. That
yeah, and let me stop you there because we're about out of time, Mark, but I'll just say this. I agree that some of those sheriffs aren't as constitutional as we'd like them to be, but it reminds me kind of the church. You know, the church is full of sinners. And some people would say, hey, open the door and see all the hypocrites, right? But I believe
like
that...
You mean like John Ashcroft?
Well, you know, I understand the point. What I'm saying, though, is that there's a lot of sheriffs that may not be perfect, but it is an education. There was a time when I wasn't as solid of a constitutionalist either because I wasn't educated enough. I meant well, but I just didn't have enough experience and enough education and enough work. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is some of those sheriffs do mean well. Some of them may be wolves in sheep's clothing, and some of them may truly be hypocrites, but many of them are just doing their best. They're afraid, too. It's hard to stand up. It's hard to get true education. It takes a lot to indoctrinate or unlearn what you've been taught your whole life and re-educate yourself and then have the guts to follow through.
Okay,
you know, the one guy that was a follower of the Savior Jesus Christ said, I've done everything you've asked, Lord. I've done everything. What lack I yet? And the answer was, give all your possessions away, and he couldn't do it. So I'm just saying it's tough for people, and we're all doing our best. And, hey, let's follow the Prince of Peace. This nation shall endure.